Right, very good morning to everyone. Let's turn to Isaiah 51:11. Thought it's a good thing to get started. We just sing one song, alright? I think we all know this song from the Bible. Okay? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head 2 times. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Then you go back again to therefore the redeemed of the Lord. Okay, we'll sing one time just to warm ourselves up as we prepare our hearts for the Sunday Bible Hour. Okay, therefore the redeemed. Ready? 1, 2. Isaiah 51 verse 11. Isaiah 51 verse 11. Okay. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon them. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon them. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Amen. This verse talks about the fact that one day we will be in heaven. Okay, the redeemed of the Lord refers to those people who have been bought by God. Okay, and one day we will be in heaven, an everlasting joy. Okay, there will be no sorrow, no pain, no fever, no nagging cough, and we're going to be forever in heaven. All right, it's a blessing to look forward to. Let's have a word of prayer before we go into God's word. All right, as we talk today, we're going to be talking about the necessity of faith in prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before your holy presence today, thanking you, Lord, that we can look forward to the day that one day we will be in your presence forever and ever and ever. An everlasting joy, Lord, will be upon our heads. And that, Father, this time that we have with you will be unending. Lord, we, in a sense, we will be in church forever. We will be in a setting in the presence of God forever. And Lord, we look forward to that day. We look forward to the time that we can see our Savior face to face. And the Lord, all the worries and the heartaches of life will all be over. We pray, Father, in the meantime, as we press on, as we want to live for you and want to work for you, we pray for strength and grace, Lord. We ask today for those who are here, we pray that you will bless each of us richly. And Father, as we come into your presence, that we will have an understanding, Lord, of your precious word. Speak to us in a special way, as we make the points from the Bible as clearly as possible, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit will be the teacher, not me. That, Father, as I expound, as I share, that, Father, it will be your will that will be expounded. And God will thank you for what you're going to do. For those who can't make it today, I pray that you'll be with them. Lord, I pray you bless the service today, and may the Lord Jesus Christ's name be honored and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let me just take my notes. Okay. All right. Okay, we're talking about the necessity of faith in prayer. And before I start, I'd like to ask a question of us. Okay, how many of us have forgotten an appointment before? How many of us has forgotten an appointment before? Have you ever forgotten an appointment? Have you ever forgotten an appointment before? Even though it's written down? There was one time, I think I was with a family. We went to, we went to Little Guilin, or I just went there just to do something. And then I had a phone call. I had an SMS from Dr. Goh, one of my pediatricians, and it was about 2:55. Okay, and she SMS, "Johnny, are you coming today?" I say, "What? What?" Then I'm like, "Oh, I had a consultancy meeting today." And I just had to tell her, I said, "Oops, sorry, I'm not coming." Okay, totally forgot. And may I ask, why do we forget? Why do we forget appointments? This is very important, okay? It's vital to our understanding of the necessity of it. But why do we forget appointments? Anyone? Why do we forget? Why do we forget? Sorry? Huh? Distractions, okay? What else? Distractions. Busyness, yeah, busyness. Ah, I cannot, I forget, I'm so busy. The busyness, distraction, okay, what else? Anything else that causes us to forget about things? Busyness, distraction. Huh, sorry? Not a priority. Then what, sorry? A loss of memory, okay, loss of memory. Yeah. How many of you have loss of memory? I think I not only lost my memory, I'm losing my hair, so I know. Anyway, yeah, loss of memory, distractions, not a priority. Yeah, well, in that sense, my priority on that day was my family, so that's why I think it's a good reason to forget. Just kidding. But let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6, okay? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We'll be talking about the necessity of faith in prayer. The necessity of faith in prayer. In Hebrews 11, if you ever want a chapter that talks to you about faith in the Bible, it's Hebrews 11. Okay, alright, let's read together Hebrews 11 verse 6. Let's read together, ready? 1, 2, begin. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Okay, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to be a pleasure to God. It is impossible to satisfy God as His children. Look at verse number 1, because it explains what faith is. Okay, we all know this verse, we've quoted it oftentimes, but what does it mean? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, the word faith, I just go through word by word, alright? The word faith has the idea of a persuasion, a confidence. Faith is a persuasion that in your mind you are very sure of this thing. Okay? Now, faith is the substance. The word substance is divided into two words, sub and stance. Okay? Sub meaning under, stance, where we get the word standing from. In other words, faith is the foundation, the underlying foundation of the things hoped for. Okay? Hoped for. What does that mean? What does that mean? I think a simple illustration. Just now I give you I ask you the question, why do we forget? Just understand this. Faith is the foundation of the things that you are hoping for on top. Okay, example, how many of us are hoping for the second coming of Christ? We are, right? Okay, and we talk about the second coming of Christ. As far as I'm concerned, as the second coming of Christ is as real as our next birthday. It will come. Okay, now, to believe that, we must have the foundation of faith. The fact that we believe in the second coming shows that we have faith. Does that make sense? It is faith, the confidence, the certainty of the things that we hope for will come true. Okay? Simple illustration. Let's say I tell Ping Guang. Ping Guang, we are going for lunch next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Okay, confirm. Don't worry about your appointment. Okay, let's say I say lunch 2. Oh, cannot lunch. Sorry, lunch 12:30. Okay, not 2 p.m. 2 p.m. You'll be very hungry already. 12:30 lunch with Ping Guang on Tuesday. Okay, and so Brother Ping Guang doesn't have to SMS me every hour and say, "Is it on? Is 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 it on?" The moment I tell him lunch 12:30 Tuesday for lunch. It's confirmed. Okay, it's confirmed already. Okay, well, unless something crops up, but that's confirmed. And so, Brother Peng Kuang will plan his life around that appointment on Tuesday. Right? Because the lunch is at 12:30 on Tuesday. He will plan his life around it because he believes that he is going to go for the lunch appointment with me. Does that make sense? It is because I told him lunch 12:30 Tuesday. So he said okay, and then he plans his life around there. Although we don't think about it, that is faith. We believe that the lunch appointment will continue. That is why we plan our life around that. Does that make sense? Now, when we don't believe in something, we wouldn't plan our life around that. When we don't believe in something, we will not plan our life around that. That's why some people, their lives is, they are not planned around God, even though they call themselves Christians. You know why? The foundation of faith is either weakening or it is not there in the first place. Alright? And I want to read something that's very important. Faith is the sum of things hoped for, then it is the evidence of things not seen. In the lunch meeting appointment example, the evidence that the appointment is going to happen is how Brother Peng Kuang arranged his whole life. Okay, but he arranged his whole life around that appointment because he believed on the foundation area that there is going to be a lunch appointment. Okay? Alright? Okay? So with that in mind, listen to this. Faith exists in the heart of man. The belief, the persuasion that something is true exists in the heart of man. It is the result of the hope that a man see by his spiritual eyes. This hope is sharpened by the Word of God. The more we read God's Word, the more we are persuaded by the hope in Christ of the second coming, of the fact that God answers prayer. Why do we pray? The reason why faith is so important, I'll rewind a bit first. The lesser a man have of the Word of God, the lesser the promises and principles and eternal realities spiritual eyes can see. Does that make sense? The lesser we have of God's Word, the lesser we will be able to see the promises, the principles, and the eternal realities. This results in a weakening of the spiritual vision, leading to the weakening of faith. Because if we cannot see that something is going to happen, we are not going to do anything about it. And after a while, like just now we talk about loss of memory, distractions, other priorities, starts to come in, it blocks our faith, it blocks our hope, and because hope begins to be very, very dim, we begin to lose heart. Okay, people talk about losing heart, they lose faith. Okay? We were watching one DVD entitled Home Beyond the Sun. Okay, Home Beyond the Sun. There was this lady in the film who was actually part of apparently orphan. Okay, so lost mom, lost dad. And she was put in a state-run orphanage, okay? And she was oftentimes, in the state-run orphanage, as a young girl, she was very traumatized, okay? I mean, she was very affected by, and in tears, she talked about the fact how certain children, those who are intellectually disabled, physically deformed, they were locked out in a room and led to starve to death. And the cries of those children haunted her a lot, even as a young child. Okay, but what happened was one day someone told one of the teachers, one person from the orphanage, one lady who told them about a man called Jesus who loved him, her. And she said that to understand, she can't believe that someone who don't know her even loved her. And she held on to that hope. The hope that Jesus Christ loved her. And that was the thing that helped her through, okay, the terrible lives in the orphanage. And of course, later on, she went on to apparently start an orphanage to help girls like this as well. And what a wonderful picture of the fact that faith in God gives us hope. You know, sometimes as Christians, we go through life discouraged and all that. Why? Can I say this? Is it because there is no faith? Or there is a lessening of the faith? And it is so important because the less faith you have, the less you will want to pray. Because prayer, where there is no faith, there is no prayer. Okay, let's go back again. This leads to a weakening of the vision, leading to a weakening of the faith. When there is no revival in the heart of love for God's word, faith dies a natural death. Very soon, you will not want to come to church. Very soon, you will not want to read the Bible. Very soon, your life is filled with frustration. Very soon, there's so much discouragement that you find you cannot overcome. Very soon, you will find that everything you ever stand for is not there. Why? Because there is no revival in faith inside of your heart. And because there is no Word of God. There is no Word of God. There is no looking forward to that hope. And if there's no looking forward to that hope, your foundation becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. It in a sense, dries up. Okay? And once that dries up, the believer in actual fact becomes an unbeliever. You don't do those things you used to do anymore. Yeah, I know I used to pray. I used to study the Bible. I used to be faithful. I used to go tracting. I used to do this. But you know what? The faith becomes so little that you don't actually do that anymore. Because there's no faith in the heart. Where there is no faith, there will be no prayer. For prayer to be made, there must already be faith or belief in something that you cannot see. That is something which is... Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God can save your loved ones? We know God can. Yes. The Bible says it is not impossible. Okay, it is possible for God to save all men. It is possible. Okay? We know that God can do that. But how many of you honestly waver sometimes? Why? Because faith is not sure. We are unable to abandon ourselves to God and say, God, you are God, you have all power, I trust you. And I put myself totally in your hands. But you know what happens sometimes? Distraction, loss, not lack of priorities, loss of memory, interferes with our faith. We begin to forget God is love. We begin to forget God is the God of the impossible. We begin to forget God answered. We begin to forget God protected Daniel in the lion's den. We begin to forget God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We begin to forget how God saved the lady, the Syrophoenician lady whose girl was vexed with the devil. We begin to forget. We lost our memory of God. Why? Because faith becomes so, hope becomes dim, and faith therefore becomes weakened. Okay? For prayer to be made, there must be a belief in the unseen. Does it make sense? You see the necessity of faith? If you have no faith, you will not pray. And to be honest, if you look around, how much do we pray on a daily basis? Is it, we only pray 3 times a day, right? Breakfast, lunch and dinner. But you know, how much do we pray? There was one man, his name is D.L. Moody. The other thing, you know, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody mentioned that I've got so much things to do every day that I've got to wake up early in the morning and spend the first 3 hours in prayer and putting everything before God. before I even start the day. You know, sometimes in Singapore, I know, you come back, you're tired, wake up, rush to work. I understand. But you know, we need to get our instruments tuned before we get into the day. We need to have confidence in God first. We need to pray. Can I show you 6 things, alright, that we're going to talk about faith, and so that we can understand the necessity of faith in prayer. Number one, faith is a starting point of your Christian life. Alright, let's turn to 2 Peter, not first. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. From this verse, we see that faith is the starting point of your Christian life. Faith is a starting point of the Christian life. Okay, I'll read that. First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power, God's power, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In other words, God in this life, can I say this? Do you believe in this life, God has given you all things you need for life and living and spiritual life? That's what the Bible says here. According as God's power is given unto us all things that pertain to life, how you live on this earth, and to godliness, how you live the spiritual life in this world. Okay? Life is not just about doing your duties, it's about being like Christ. That's why God has to give us all things pertaining to life. In other words, that simply means God give you the skills, God give you the mental, the thinking, God give you the ability to plan, God give you wisdom to organize your life, God give you strength to do your duties, all things that pertain to life. But don't forget, and godliness as well. Okay? God has given all things through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Christ, that have called you unto glory and virtue. Okay? Then looking at verse 5, notice, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You know, when you begin to add virtue has the idea of character, obedience, doing the right thing. After you do the right thing, you add to it more the knowledge of God. Then you begin to, after understanding God's word a little bit more, you begin to have a little bit more self-control. Because in the past, you used to do what you want. But when God's word comes into your mind, you begin to, okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to have more love and care. I have temperance. And after temperance, patience. You begin to then realize that in life, there are certain things that you have no control over. And you just have to bear with it and endure with Christ on your side. And then to godliness. After you have developed patience, you begin to draw close to God. Because, by the way, when you go through trials and you don't draw close to God, there's something missing in between. Because in this verse, it is said, when you have patience, as God brings you through the difficulties in life, the goal is to make you more like Christ. So if you are bearing trials in your life and not becoming like Christ, there's something wrong. You are not doing it God's way. Does that make sense? Because God uses trials to build your faith and make you more like Christ. Okay? After that, after godliness, when you're beginning to know more about God, you're beginning to realize that God is on your side, you begin to love your brethren. And some people have difficulty loving brethren. Why? Is it because, think about the sequence here. It's very interesting because with faith, it starts all these things. To get to loving one another, you must have learned the experience of going through trials. And with that trials in your life, you begin to draw close to God. Once you draw close to God, you've learned the secret. And that's where you can share with someone else. Brotherly kindness comes in. And when brotherly kindness is expanded, it begins not just love for the brother, but love for the entire world. Charity. Unconditional love. Can you see that? So with faith, it all starts with faith. But can I say that faith has to be added too? Notice what will happen if you add all these things. Don't add all these things. So look at verse 8 first. When you add all these things, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. We all know, most of us here would have trusted Christ as our personal Savior. Yes, I hope so. you actually have the foundation of saving faith. My question for you is, are you adding to that faith? Are you adding to that faith? Because the Bible says, verse 8, if virtue, if knowledge, if temperance, if patience, if godliness, if brotherly kindness and charity be in you and abound,